Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back. I'm here with Scott. We're going to have a conversation today about a phone call that I got from a friend, and just a conversation that I had with him got me thinking about the podcast and some of the things we talk about on here. And I just realized in that conversation that it seems like people have two assumptions on how they are connected to God. People who believe in God think that they are connected to God either because they go to church or they're connected to God because they're just a good person. They just live a moral life.
You're saying people that believe in God, so not atheists. You're not
right.
Atheists wouldn't have this assumption.
Right.
But you're saying people who believe in God think that you connect with them in a couple different ways.
Yeah, that's...
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah, so I thought...
And I think that's pretty common.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, I've had conversations with people, and that just seems to be what I hear a lot. It's either because of my church, we do things the way God wants them done, or we, you know, our church traditions are such that that's how we're connected to God. And
okay.
I know that was my experience for a lot of my life, and it's...
Well, mine was a little different as far as church goes. I've heard people want to talk about, you know, they want to talk about God, and so they start with church.
Yeah.
So what church do you go to? And they'll say, or have you gone to church? Or, you know, do you grow up going to church? Which is fine because it gets you down a path. But if you stay on that path, you're just talking about church. You're not really talking about God. You're talking about, do you go to the gym? How did you grow up going to the gym? Are you in good shape today? You know, you're talking about some other thing rather than how you relate to God. I mean, I used to be back in the day. Boy, we miss these days when people would say, well, I give to the church.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, now we're talking, but that's pretty much not so much a thing anymore.
That's not the thing.
You know, the giving, I mean, it's related to, it's part of a religious practice, you might say, where giving, you know, there's some people who think that they could, I don't know, by the way, and that just isn't as common as it used to be when I think the whole culture was more church than... They kind of ranked themselves by, well, how much they gave or something.
Right.
But
and you think they believed that giving connected them to God?
In some regard. Yeah. I mean, they were, I don't know what kind of background they had, but that was one of the things that you would hear occasionally would be, you know, well, I donated or I gave to the church. And as though that was... the explanation, I don't really need to go but to church because I gave to the church.
Right.
But I'm still good, right? And that's sort of the way that they would approach it. And I suppose there's other things like that.
Yeah.
But the prospect that, you know, church is the thing that connects you with God, it is an instrument that God uses to connect people to him, but... It's not the thing,
right?
To be in a church, to even to say I believe the truth, doesn't, you know, get you connected to God,
right? Right. Well, that's probably important to say that both of these things that I brought up, church or morality, you know, living a moral life, we're not saying that either of these things are bad. I'm just saying that these things alone don't connect you.
You would say they're
God.
Good but insufficient in that respect.
Yeah.
And when you say connect to God, what do you actually mean when you're saying connect to God?
I mean I'm thinking in terms of having a relationship with God, being reconciled to God. I don't think you can have peace with God through
simply because church. You go to church.
Right. Or because
because you're a good person.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right.
Which I think, yeah, having peace with God, being reconciled to God would be the way that would be more precise. But
right.
But that's not how we talk. So we'll just right. say connect with God, and we want you to hear being completely reconciled and accepted by God.
Yeah.
Or forgiven by God. Any of the things that are more substantive when we say connected to God, that's sort of what we're talking
yeah.
in less precise terms, probably.
Yeah, that's a great clarification, because we're looking for more than just being connected. It is that being reconciled. And mm-hmm. yeah, that's great. There are some examples from Scripture of people who thought that they were just automatically connected to God because of their heritage, their tradition, you know, their upbringing. Mm-hmm. We've got one here that from John 8. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say that you will become free?" So they're arguing that they don't have any need of what Jesus is coming and having to offer to them, this freedom that he's offering, and they thought they already had it because they were children of Abraham.
They were born in the right place.
Yeah.
And they, it is interesting that they thought that they were good to go by virtue of their parents, really.
Yeah.
Were born as offspring of Abraham.
Yeah.
When Jesus continues that conversation and says, well, maybe not.
Right.
And he ends up by saying, yes, you are, you know, we will talk about your father, but you are of your father, the devil.
Yeah.
Who is a murderer and a liar. And so, yeah, Jesus came down kind of hard on people who thought they were going to get in on somebody else's coattails.
Right.
Really.
And challenging them, saying, if you were truly children of Abraham, you would have believed me like Abraham did.
Right.
You know, so
they would have gone to, you know, farther than just claiming they're good to go. Right.
Right.
Yeah, there's, you know, another guy who's not the most popular in the Bible, probably. His name is Diotrephes, and it says he likes to put himself first. And how that looks in this context is he doesn't acknowledge the authority of the apostles, so he doesn't acknowledge authority. He is an authority to himself.
Yeah.
In other words, he has decided the rules of engagement.
Right.
And then he says, if I come, I'm going to bring up what he's doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome their brothers and stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. And so he's essentially set up his own little kingdom here, his right. own little church. And the Apostle John is not really going to have any of it, because that's not how it works. That's not how you get connected to God or reconciled with God, by establishing your own rules, even if you're in the church.
See, right.
that Diotrephes was, and he was just sort of working the angles inside the church,
yeah.
and that just didn't work, so...
And by putting the people out who wouldn't get in line, he's kind of creating his own one right church here. Like it's
yeah, he might be the first one. We should have him on the podcast, but we're a little bit late, I guess. Yeah,
probably a little late. And those verses are from 3 John. If any of the listeners wanted to look that up, but, did you have something?
No, I was just thinking that. That's probably enough as far as the church goes, just
yeah.
because, yeah. You know, it's fine to talk about church, but the church is, the church is necessary, but it's insufficient to really reconcile someone to God.
Yeah.
Anyway, another thing people try is to be a good person or
yeah.
to be a moral person. And if I'm just good enough, God will accept me. Or God will be pleased with me. And I think that's one of the things that if you were to say there's an assumption about church, or there's an assumption about getting along with God, you would say that assumption is he wants me to be a good person.
Yeah.
And not completely sure that that is God's, first of all, that that's God's main goal, is to get you to be a well-behaved person.
Right.
You know, it's not like he's a nanny upstairs who's trying to maybe to swat you and get you to behave. And that's people who would maintain that this is the way they get along with God would also kind of point to those other folks in the church and say, well, there's a lot of hypocrites in the church, so
yeah,
they're not good enough, but I'm planning to be good enough. And so they're very different from those who try and work their way in the church. These people are saying, yeah, the church doesn't have it right, so I'm going to do it on my own.
Yeah. Yeah, and that they don't even need that for themselves. There's such a good person, and the conversation I was remembering back to when someone was explaining that to me, they were basically telling me that everything's working out okay for me so far, so God must be pleased with me. My life is fine, things are going well, and so I just don't think, I mean, I guess my question would be, what is good enough? How good do you have to be good enough on those terms?
Yeah, and I think, you know, before you even get there, I would just, that just made me gulp when somebody would say that, because anybody who's lived any amount of time has realized things don't always go great.
Yeah.
And really, circumstances are not a good indicator of how well you're getting along with God.
Right.
That's, I think, a really important thing to say, because people are maybe quick to do that when things are going great. When things are going bad, they're probably also quick to say, well, God's upset with me.
Right.
And frankly, neither of those are true.
Yeah.
It is not a good indicator. Your circumstances are not a good indicator of God's feelings toward you.
Yeah.
In fact, I mean, I don't know if we'll get to it, but God has expressed how he feels about you, and it has nothing to do with your circumstances.
Right.
Anyway, you were going to ask a question.
Yeah. Well, no, that was the question, was how good is good enough? And then I think the Bible kind of, well, not kind of, I think the Bible contradicts that idea of I'm just a good person. You know, I just do good. We really have to grade on a curve if we're going to say we're a good person. We're only comparing ourselves to other people if we're doing that. And there are a few verses that I thought of, and one of them is in Isaiah. So there's an Old Testament verse in Isaiah 53 that says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So that's an all-inclusive statement, like everyone is. And then Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And that's what I was thinking about with the grading on a curve. We're not, the comparison isn't to find other people that you're doing better than, and therefore you're a good person.
Well, and I've been thinking some about pride this week, and one of the sources that I read suggested that that pride is always competitive, or it's always comparative. We're always comparing yourself to someone on the curve. I mean, I don't know if you remember school, but I remember being pretty competitive and super happy when there was a curve, because, you know, that almost, it always worked in my favor. I guess any curve always adjusts in favor of the person, the student, right?
Yeah.
You curve the other way. That'd be terrible.
Right.
But anyway, the problem with that was that it made me more proud and made me more self-reliant, and made me less inclined to trust or rely on God, which is a problem. So,
yeah. Yeah. And then one last one that I had on there was Romans 5. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, And so death spread to all men because all sinned. I don't think there's anybody that can say, but not me. You know, I'm a good person. It's okay. Nobody has escaped sin, according to the Bible. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, the standard for what God says is Matthew 5:48. You must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Yeah.
There you go. And so, again, you say, and I think it's important because some people will say, okay, well, I know I messed up before, but I'm going to do better.
Yeah.
I'm going to do better. Well, do better, you know, do better already means you're not perfect. In other words, you've already, you know, as your verse just said, fallen short of the glory of God. And so, you know, that I think is one of the things that we really want to get to is not just what do you do when you're not moral or good? What do you do if you're not, if your church isn't going to carry the weight for you?
Right.
See, I mean, if those are the two things that people mostly default to, and in church is good but not sufficient, and your morality is inadequate to get you on right terms with God, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
That, I think, is what we've got to get to, because trying harder is fine for the next try.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the try after that, and if you're absolutely amazing, maybe all your tries will be successful. Yeah. But the fact is, there's been previous tries already. You already have a you know, sort of a tally mark of all of the times when your tries weren't good enough. And, you know, you're hoping that if you try hard enough, God will overlook the past ones. You know, the thing about Jesus, really, the thing about the good news is that it not only takes care of you now, takes care of your future, it also can forgive. Jesus also forgives your past, which is, you know, that's how you get rightly related to God, is not from morality or from church, but from Jesus. And when you're trusting him, all of those past failures that, you know, you quote me a verse that says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Well, I have, and what am I going to do about that? I'm not. Jesus can do something about that.
Yeah.
And then when he does, it also talks about how he can, he empowers and helps me today. So maybe my best try will be better because he's with me.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, I'm getting off out over my skis on this, but.
No, I think you're totally right. That is where we want to get to, is that Jesus is the only answer. It's not Jesus plus church or Jesus plus morality. Morality's going to fall short. Church is going to be insufficient. It's connection to Jesus. Like you said, it's a relationship with him. And that's really the only way. It's not like it's the best way and then there are other harder ways. It's the only way.
Mm, that's a really good thing to say, I think.
And, Jesus claims that in John 14. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I think that's the most important thing to realize, number one, is it's not like you've got to be a more moral person. We're not saying your morality's falling short, so try harder. We're saying this is the only way. It has to be through Jesus that you come to the Father. And then 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Again, just talking about it being the only way. And then one of my favorite verses that I remember reading early on when I was coming to faith is in Acts chapter 4. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. I had spent my whole life, really, with, I would say, a combination. I thought I was born in the right place. I thought I was going to the right church. I thought that was going to do it. I thought I was living my life. At least I was portraying, I'll say that, I was portraying a life that was more moral than enough other people that I was around to make me feel good about myself. So that's what, like, this is as good as I can do. I hope it's enough, and thought it would be, and then came to realize that I was, I didn't know anything about Jesus. I was, like, rejecting Jesus, like that verse talks about.
That is interesting that you really tried a combo approach.
Yeah.
We said there's, you know, be good enough and go to church. I mean, you were working both of those.
Yeah.
And then realized that the scripture is pretty clear that there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And there's only, that Jesus is the only way in.
Yeah.
And then, yes, he does transform you into a more moral person, but you get there through Jesus.
Yeah.
And the forgiveness of your immorality is forgiven by Jesus. And yes, you trust in Jesus. You come to the Father through him, and you end up in a church.
Yeah.
But again, that you don't want to get confused with the means and the ends there. He does get you in a church. He does change you to a better person, but it's because you have trusted in Jesus and not trusted in yourself to be good or not trusted in an organization or institution to do it for you.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really, I think that's, I guess I'm glad you brought this up because I think that's an important thing for everybody to get more and more clear on.
Yeah, and I think it's serious enough that I know for me at least, I was guilty of, you said thinking of myself, I was going to be my own means of being saved when I was trying the moral way. And my church, I had put my church in the place where only Jesus should be as my means of being saved, of being connected to God. And it's, I think that can happen to us without us really realizing it. We can be so focused on our church that, especially if you're part of a one right church where all the others are wrong, we can be so focused on that we end up really not thinking about Jesus at all. And that's why those verses in Acts were so impactful for me, that it just clears it right up, or it did that time that I read it. It just cleared it right up that it's got to be Jesus.
Well, I mean, you see, it did that time. In some respects, we've said all these things before.
Yeah.
And we're saying them again in hopes that there would be the opportunity for somebody else to say, well, this time I got it, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if I want to come to the Father, I've got to go through Jesus.
Yeah.
And maybe this would be the time when somebody would really lay hold on that and believe it by faith.
Yeah, and one more point I think that's important to say is that I want to make sure that people know that you don't have to reach a certain level of morality to get to Jesus before you can get to the Father. You know, that you can just come to Jesus as you are, and that you don't have to find the right church that will get you to Jesus. That, you know, you can, I just think that's important to say, that not only is that not the way to get connected to God, but you don't have to reach a certain level to come to Jesus either.
Well, and I think that is a problem. It's only a problem for people who think they're already at some level or who are already trying that approach. I mean, Jesus' favorite people, the people he would love to go to dinner with, were the tax collectors and sinners.
Right.
And no one understood that, but Jesus was ready to receive people who were not, who did not have their act together and who were not religious in any way.
Yeah.
And so it's Jesus loves people who are kind of not on the morality path and not on the church path,
yeah,
and come to him as the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah. And it's just, it really is, I think people will find that it's exhausting to try those other ways too. And it's just, it's such a feeling of freedom to give up on that and lay it all on Jesus and, you know, trust in him. And so that's what I would...
I do hope people will do that, yes.
Yeah. Well, we've done this song on here several times, but Christ the Solid Rock seemed appropriate for this. I'll just do the first verse and the chorus, but it says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the Solid Rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." And I just think that's the point of this, is that your morality or if you're basing everything on just your church and it's not just a means to an end of Jesus, then it's going to be sinking sand.
Yeah, don't want to be caught there.
No. Well, thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.